Amen. The sun's shining, everything. And guess what? You're watching the Holy Ghost Fire Church. Amen. Coming from the beautiful community of French Camp, California. And we give everybody a warm invitation to come. And now you can find it, 365 East Correll Lane, French Camp, California. Everybody, this morning looking at you, you got one of these? Amen. It's the Bible. We use and preach the Bible. We preach about the Lord Jesus Christ and how He's moving and operating in our lives. I said operating in our lives, and He is operating in our lives. Amen. That was a great worship service we had this morning. Amen. I trust that you got blessed out of it. I got blessed out of it. And you should have got blessed out of it. Well, I want you to turn with me this morning. We're going to go to the word of prayer right after. If everybody is turning to it, you can turn to the book of Luke, chapter 23. Amen. And we'll be dealing with some things very necessary. I said it is very necessary to your salvation that you know these things. Amen. Jesus has been arrested at night in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying, and while he was praying, Judas betrayed him. His disciples was with him. The three disciples were with him. We preached about this, talked about a little bit last week, how he had took the inner circle, the power. And then when he got up and finished, he said, go ahead and sleep on. Then Judas and the temple guard came and arrested him. This is all at night. And according to their own rules, the Jewish people, you don't hold a trial after dark. You might hold a kangaroo trial after dark, but you don't hold that. And when they got done, they sent him all the way to Pilate. Now, Pilate, you have to stop and think. Pilate is the governor of the Roman legion, amen, stationed in that area. And he is the one that passes sentences and talks to people and they bring their problem to him. But the priests and them, I want you to look at for a moment at verse 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. Let us pray. Father, we ask Thee to watch over us. We ask Thee, through the anointing of the Holy Ghost, to open these Scriptures, that they become alive to us, because it is the breathing voice and breath of God Almighty pinned down here. Amen? You notice what I said? The whole multitude. That means you have more than just one. And they begin to accuse him, this fellow, perverting the nation, forbidding tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is king, Christ king. Now, that is a strong application that have they laid at him. How honest is the leaders of Israel? Can you look at that and decide how honest they are? Well, I want you to look at verse chapter 22 of the book of Matthew. And that's a very interesting verse of Scripture. And I want you to look at verse 21. Now, what was their accusation? He forbid giving tribute to Caesar. This is what they said. What did Jesus say? I said, what did Jesus say? Well, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 21, it says, well, we'll come up a little higher here for a minute. Verse 20. And he said unto them, who is the image of subscription? They said unto him, Caesar. Then said he, Jesus. Caesar. Then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God. He asked you this morning, church. Jesus make a statement. Don't give money to the Roman government for taxes and stuff. No, he did not say that. He had his own words, but they did not believe in him. They did not like him, and they wanted to get rid of him. And so they brought him before Pilate. And Pilate is trying to be honest about it. He listens to the situation. He listens to what they have to say. And they brought, and he said, Christ the King, and he talked to him. When I look at this and I'm thinking about, how can you hate somebody that much? And when he heard that he was a Galilean, an inherit jurisdiction, he sent him there. Now, Herod was glad to see Jesus because he heard a lot of things about the man. And he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to talk to Jesus. He wanted to see a miracle performed by Jesus. But when Jesus arrived there at that particular place, he did not communicate with Herod. He didn't say a word. And when they got done buffing him and putting a robe on him, a purple robe, you know, and then they sent him all the way back to Pilate. And Pilate looked at it and he realized Herod had nothing to charge Jesus about. For as he was concerned, the man did nothing wrong. And Pilate interrogated, talked to Jesus, and looked at the situation. And when he looked at it, he thought, this man has done nothing worthy of death. He has not subverted the Roman government. He even went as far, somebody might have stepped up, said, but you know, he said, pay due to Caesar and to God. And then you come over to verse 12. And the same day, Pilate and Herod was made friends together. For before they were at enmity between themselves, and Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, he is about to give his verdict on the situation. You know, when the judge get ready to give his verdict, people set up in a courtroom and they look around and listen, what will it be? He talked, I call it, to the priests. He talked to the elders. He talked to the Pharisees. He even talked to the Sadducees. And when it was all done, he said, I don't find anything wrong with Jesus. Not a thing wrong with Jesus. And I think that we should tell people about it. And so he gave us, I find no fault. Harry, find no fault. We find no fault with him. For sedition, there was a custom at this particular time. I said there was a custom at this particular time. Forgive me for a moment. I have a chair I'm sitting in. And I'm not too comfortable with this chair. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you a few moments about what's been said here about Jesus. So when we look at the situation, we see what Herod does. Pilate has no choice because the Jewish priests, the elders, the people that are in the hierarchy, you might say, it's sort of be like the President of the United States and the Congress and the Senate coming up and say, something's wrong with somebody, and we want to get rid of them, you know. And they go to the courts, and the courts come back and say, we don't find nothing wrong with him. I'm going to release Jesus. And they said, no! We don't want him. What do you want? We want him. I'm going to use the term, we want him dead. Crucify him. Crucify him. That was the cry. Crucify him. So Pilate sat down in the judgment seat. And he said, according to what you say, I sentenced Jesus to death. He's on your hand. And then he went and washed his hands in water. I am clean, he said, of this innocent man's blood. The judge had the power to release him. But under peer pressure, I said peer pressure, you're not a friend of Caesar. Well, he did that. Verse 20 said, Pilate therefore willing to release Jesus. You see that? Spake again to them. And they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why? Why? What evil has he done? I have found no fault of death in him. And verse 23 said, and they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. That was the chief priest. Reviled, he was mad. I mean, he probably was turning red in the face. Talk about steam coming up. Steam was coming up every place. And Pilate gave sentence. And he released unto them him that for sedition, murder, was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to the will. That was a sad thing. They'd rather have a murderer, one, a rebel, working hard against the Roman government and other people, that they'd rather have him. And he turned them, Jesus, over to them. How do you look at Jesus today? Do you consider him bad? Or would you rather have a drug dealer? Or would you rather have a hardened criminal such as the mafia or the Italian mafia or whatever kind of mafia? Would you rather have somebody like that? My friend, I don't want somebody like that. They're the ones that should go to jail. They're the ones that should be executed. Not Jesus. But Pilate bowed to their will. Now the Bible makes the statement very clearly. And as they led him away, they laid hold on one Simon of Cyrene, coming out of a country. On him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. He's probably a Jew living in a different country. At the time they had to come home for the feast, he made the journey. I said he made the journey. He did not expect when he got up that day. I said he did not expect when he got up that day. Walk out on the street looking around. He's one probably more than a million and a half Jews that has come home for the Passover. Got up that morning, had no idea, and he walked out on the street, and all of a sudden he saw a huge crowd. He could see something going on. And the first thing he knows, a Roman soldier has him by the hand. Another one has him by the other hand. And they're carrying him where he don't want to go. And as he stands there, he can see a man that barely can walk. A man that had been so badly whipped by the Roman soldier until there were probably no skin left on his back. My friend, some of the new translations say he was bruised for our iniquity, our healing. No, the Bible says, by his stripes are we healed. But he looked at it and he thought about it. And they took that thing and put up on him and said, you will follow him. My friend, are you following Jesus? This man is there. Not just this man. Somebody looked and said, just a few, it's just one man. No, no, no. The street is jammed with people. So they laid the cross on him that he might follow after you. And there followed, you see, and there followed him a great company of people, of women, which also bewailed, lamented for him. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. I said they couldn't believe what they were seeing. In the middle of the night, the high priest, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the elders had Jesus sentenced to death. When Judas saw what was done, he brought the money back, threw it on the floor, and they said, what is that to us? And the Bible said he went out and hung himself. He made the statement, I have betrayed innocent blood. So when you look at it, the people are crying and the people are mourning. And they can see this procession as it is going on. The streets are packed. sort of like they're going to watch a parade. They were shocked. Who are they going to crucify? This is a Passover. You don't do that. And the rumor floated up and down. Have you heard? They're going to execute, crucify Jesus. And they're crying and they're weeping. Why would they cry? Why would they weep? They can't believe what their officials has done. How they had wanted him. They hated him so bad. They wanted him dead. They wanted to get him out of their way. And they look and they say, how could they do this to him? A lot of the people standing in the crowd, probably some, had their eyes restored. Some of them had their loved ones raised from the dead. Some had saw and ate of the bread and of the 5,000 and 4,000 fish. How could they do? All he ever did, they would say, was good. They were shocked. But when we think about it, as a little boy, I used to see as a, on an Easter Sunday the Jesus going through the crowd. But they forget one thing. If you put your finger on verse 32, and he said unto them the third time, what evil? Pilate again. He's not there. This is what has been said before this incident. But then again, the Bible says something very clearly. Jesus is walking, and they're following him, a great company of people. And the Bible said there's women. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. Can you imagine that? He looked, he would die. He turned and looked and said, daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me. But weep for yourselves and for your children. Somebody was standing and said, why would we want to do that for? Jesus had given a word of prophecy unto them. On the way to Golgotha, on the way to Calvary, which means a skull. That's where he's going. Weep for yourself. Weep for your children. And behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the womb that never bore and the pup which never gave sup. Then shall they begin to say unto the mountains, fall on us, and to high and on the hill, unto the hills, cover us. Now a lot of people will stand and say, he's talking about the great tribulation. No. He's not talking about the great tribulation. He's talking about an incident that's going to happen here, the hill following you. And if they do these things, now this is the thing. If they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in a dry tree? About 37 years later, the Roman government, Titus, the 10th legion, came against Jerusalem. Titus wanted the temple left standing. But the Roman soldiers, they surrounded Jerusalem. I said they surrounded Jerusalem. They seized it. It had such anger toward these people that they... It didn't last 30 minutes. It lasted for months and months and months. And they killed, roughly they say, over 1.5 million people died. Do you remember what Jesus said? Don't weep for me. Weep for your own self. Weep for your children. Blessed are the ones that are dead, the ones that never bore. Blessed are they. The Roman government tore that city apart brick by brick. It wasn't one thing. And why? That 1.5 million, and rest of them was sold into slavery. You don't damage the Son of God. God gets angry. And is marching on down. For if they do this in a green tree, I mean a man that is young, a man, but just think now, what they're going to do to a dry tree? Well, they burnt Jerusalem. And there were also two other malefactors. So most people never stop to think about it. Here Jesus is walking. Simon carrying his cross. Maybe on this side of Jesus, maybe on this side of Jesus, are two criminals. They're going to be executed also that day. Marching. Falling down. It's not a short trip. They go out through the probably the eastern gate, go up to the place where they're going to crucify them. They will be put to death. And when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, Luke, Calvary, Mark, John, Golgotha. In Latin, Calvary. You've got to remember, Luke is a physician. He's not a Jew. He's a physician. He's writing this down. And what does the word mean in Latin? The place of the skull. The place of the skull. When you look at it, there they crucified him. And the malefactors. One on the right, one on the other, the left side. We have a cross behind us. Another cross on this side, another cross on this side. They're watching. They can see what's going on. On the right, on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the book, in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, it said if the princess would have known, they never would have crucified him, but they didn't know. They incited the mob, crucified a little mob that was in a courtroom, a court hall, well, garden area, brother. And now here Jesus is, they're going to do. But these two mountains, I call it two mountains I was looking at this last week. One was a mountain of blessing and one was a mountain of cursing. Remember what the Jewish people said? Oh, we can keep all of it. No, you can't keep anything. There's a mountain of cursing. There's a mountain of blessing. And the Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy, God said, build an altar on the mountain of cursing. Build an altar on that. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, And Jesus said, and forgive them. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers with them derived him. You know what that means? They were, oh yeah, making fun of him, everything else. Saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he be the Christ, the chosen of God. Now you notice that they didn't say the Son of God, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar. And, my friend, it says, if thou be the Son of the Jews, the King of the Jews, save thyself. And the inscription that Pilate had put up on, this is the King of the Jews. I have some commentaries I read, but most of the commentaries don't seem to want to deal with Mark and Luke. They said they just all say the same thing. No, 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 they don't say the same thing. Different things are said. Yes, John put it, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The other says something else. But you take all three. If you're going to have witnesses and you're going to have something, you know that all the witnesses say the same thing over and over. The judge will say, hey, this thing is rigged. Well, they say different things because they have all different perspectives of what was going on. The malefactors, which were hanging, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save us. But the other answered, rebuke him, saying, does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of the deed which do reward. But this man has done amiss nothing. A criminal died. He probably was with the sedition of Barabbas, and Barabbas got released. The cross. I said, the cross. And the man is looking at it. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou come into thy kingdom. Remember I told you about the two mountains that are close together? Why would you imagine that God would say, on the mountain of cursing, build an altar? If you try to follow the law, you're cursed, the Bible said. But God had them build an altar. God was making intercede for the ones in Israel that would bring the right offering and everything else. And you know what happened here? The man is dying with Jesus. He tells Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Can you just remember me? And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He gave a warning to the ladies. He gave a warning to to the people around. And the man hanging next to him, he said, "You'll be with me in paradise today." And it was about the sixth hour. And there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth. Jesus died. Life blood streaming out of his body, dripping down that thing. But the thing that struck me as I was reading this incident, and I was thinking, you remember Simon? They put the cross on him. What they did, if you ever look at a railroad tie, you ever see the spikes that go on a railroad tie? They laid it on Simon, and he went after Jesus, carrying not the cross, but that beam. It's the cross, because it's part of the cross, but it's the cross. And he followed. And not only that, you got the two criminals here that are dying, carrying the same thing on their shoulders. And then, when you get to Calvary, hello? I said, when you get to Calvary, they put Jesus on the ground, but beneath, under his shoulders, is this section of the cross. They nail him to that and to that, and tie his arms up around it, and then being they already have on the hill, there are 1, 2, 3 crosses that have been planted in the ground, and they stay there. And then they take the thieves, they take Jesus, lift him up physically, and start to raise him, the Roman soldier, up to put him on that part of the cross that is buried in the ground. That'd be painful, that'd be hurt. Oh, man! Lifting the guy with spikes, because the Jews considered the wrist part of the hand. Agony. And then only that, then they drive the stakes between, a big peg between his feet. They're together like this. But they have on that beam that is straight up and down, something like a saddle, that where they sort of halfway set, so they don't, because if they didn't have it, from the weight of the prisoner and the beating so bad, it probably would pull loose. And Jesus died. I was thinking about that. You got two thieves with him. Jesus is dead. They broke their legs. And they died. And then I thought to myself, think about it. Two thieves. One on a mountain, both of cursing. But now, one thief said, "Remember me, Lord," and he's moved to the second mountain, a blessing. He's not going to the same place the other one's going. He's going to a place called paradise, Abraham's bosom. And I was thinking, can you see Jesus going down to paradise? Can you see the thief that said, "Lord, remember me," going down with him? And you look to the other side, there's the thief that wouldn't repent. One's going to paradise, one going to hell. The Bible made the statement when Jesus rose from the dead, that the graves were open, that people come out walk. Can you imagine that? They came, the thief was walking. And when Jesus went to heaven, he went with him. But the thing I liked the most, I looked at, this is, they call Resurrection Sunday. You got to have this part before you can have Resurrection Sunday. The sin debt has been paid for, has been wiped out. But if Jesus just went to paradise and going to stay there, that means in your profession, Paul's put it this way, if there be no resurrection of the dead, we are the most miserable of all men. But there is a resurrection. Chapter 24 says, now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the scripture, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain other with them. So, all you hear a lot of people talk about, and it's special to the old Mary Magdalene, she wasn't the only one there. I said, she wasn't the only one there. And they found the stone rolled away from the scripture. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed, were about, behold, two men standing by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their face to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? You know what that tells me? My sin debt, Jesus paid it. Your sin debt, He paid it. But remember, there was two thieves on the cross, on this side, on that side. I'm going to ask you the question, which side are you on? Are you on the side of blessing? Or are you on the side of cursing? You'll make that choice. That man up there dying also made the choice. Lord, remember me when you. And Jesus said, today you will. One man went on down to hell, burning side. The other one went into Abraham's bosom. And he was surely shouting and dancing probably there. And he got to meet people that he always heard about. My friend, which side are you on? Remember, all deserve to die. And after that is the judgment. One went to paradise, one went to hell. The choice is yours. Father, we ask you today as we look at the individuals,